Page 177, affirmation of the belief. Chitu, pada, vara, etc. It is more important to affirm our belief in karma when we have to deal with heretics or when we are among them. We should stick to the right belief, regardless of what is said by those who reject it. Some lack a firm conviction, and so they go astray after reading books that support wrong beliefs. Some have deviated from right views following their marriage or social relations. This means a loss of spiritual heritage that is very much to be deplored. Such misguided people will realize their mistakes and suffer remorse on their deathbed and hereafter. Wrong belief means the wrong path. Right belief means right path. And so just as one follows the right path in order to avoid the wrong path, so also one who is not wholly free from wrong belief should change his path. This is what the Buddha taught concerning the choice of right belief as the alternative to wrong belief. Moreover, a wrong belief leads to the lower, while a right belief leads to the higher planes of existence. Of these two paths, the Buddha tells us to choose the higher one. A man who does not believe in karma and its effects will not do good, nor will he avoid evil. So he cannot hope for a higher life, but is bound to land in the nether worlds. But a man who believes in karma and its effect, avoids evil, leads a good life as far as possible, and by virtue of his good deeds, attains the higher worlds of human beings or devas. Or he may attain the noble, holy path to nirvana through the practice of insight meditation, vipassana, bhavana. Thus one can make spiritual progress only through right views. Everybody craves for a higher life and seeks it, but some seek it by following the wrong path. Some people do not believe in karma and its effect, and yet they have attained higher life and prosperity because of their past karma and hard work in the present life. The man who has thus become prosperous, despite his rejection of karma, is esteemed by some people who accept his views and follow his advice. In this way, they may achieve their objects in their present life, but they are likely to land in the lowest worlds after their death. Therefore, we should seek higher life by means of right views. Finally, according to the Buddha, the acceptance of right views is essential to the total extinction of defilements, or in other words, the attainment of nibbana. If one believes that there is no karma in its effect, or is inclined to such a belief, one should reject it and accept the right belief after hearing a good sermon and reflecting wisely, yoniso, manasikara. This will lead to the extinction of the defilement rooted in wrong views. The ordinary worldling who is not yet wholly free from wrong views will also be assured of complete freedom from them if he strengthens the belief in karma, practices meditation, and attains the first stage of holiness, Sotapatti Magga, and its fruition. Therefore, in accordance with the teaching of the Buddha, let us affirm that other people may hold that there is no karma and its effect, but we will hold the right belief that there is karma and its effect. We will practice the Dharma that lessens defilements. We will cultivate the thoughts for the right belief in karma. We will avoid the wrong belief by adopting the right belief for our spiritual uplift and for the extinction of defilements. Thus, we should strengthen the belief in karma. Whenever we come across or hear of an evil deed, we should remember that it will have an evil karmic effect and avoid it. Whenever we do a good deed, we should do it wholeheartedly, bearing in mind that it will benefit us. This way of doing good is born of knowledge. It assures one of good rebirth in the next life. Moreover, whenever we contemplate the law of karma, we have wholesome consciousness, ditiju karma. This is a kind of mind training, and we should practice it before we can practice other bhavanas. The path oriented wrong belief and right belief. We have told you how to remove the false belief that is productive of evil and cultivate the right belief that is productive of good. We now urge you to remove the false belief regarding the path, or as it is called, anyanika ditti, which means the false belief that is a hindrance to liberation from suffering. There are four false beliefs: atta ditti, sakaya ditti, sasata ditti, and ucheda ditti, that run counter to insight knowledge and path knowledge, magajnana. Of these, atta ditti, or sakaya ditti, is the belief in the existence of a living entity or soul. The living entity is called atta, and the Pali texts refer to both living being and atta. Ordinary people suppose themselves as well as others to be living beings. In reality, there are only the five khandhas, or only consciousness, sense door consciousness, mind states, perception, feelings, and corporeality, nama and rupa, or consciousness and corporeality. There is no atta, or a living entity. People believe in the existence of the non-existent atta, and this false belief is called atta ditti, or sakaya ditti. Sakaya means mind-body complex, and sakaya ditti is the false view that this mind-body complex is the living being, or atta. For example, seeing involves the eye organ, the visual object in the eye consciousness. But those who cannot contemplate or understand with insight knowledge regard the clear eye organ, the visual object, and the eye consciousness as a living being. They believe that my eye is clear and good. I see my hand. I see his body. It is I who sees, etc. And this is the Sakaya Ditti, which identifies the apparent mind-body complex with atta. This kind of false belief is also associated with acts of hearing, smelling, eating, touching, and thinking. To give another example, when you bend or stretch your hands or legs, the desire to bend and stretch is consciousness, while bending and stretching comprise corporeality. We have only this mind-body complex, but those who cannot contemplate or understand with insight knowledge have the illusion it is I who bend or stretch, because it is I who wish to do so, etc. This is the Sakaya Ditti that regards the the apparent mind-body complex as atta, and the belief arises too in connection with other kinds of physical behavior. It is hard for common people to be wholly free from the ego belief, the atta ditti. There is only a difference in degrees, some being much attached to it, and others being not so much attached. The belief is deep-rooted in those who do not know anything about the khandhas. I held this belief when I was young and ignorant. I believed then that there was a living entity in a man's physical body, that on his death it left the body either through the mouth or the nose. I thought that life entered the woman's womb during pregnancy. This belief is supported by doctors who recognize the coming of life in the fetus only when they hear its heartbeat. So people who do not have adequate knowledge about mind and body cling to the belief, but it does not have a firm hold on Buddhists who are familiar with the impersonality of life. The belief is not strong enough to impede spiritual effort and the practice of the Dharma. So it is possible for Buddhists to attain and practice the Aryan path and fruition in spite of their ego belief. The belief is weak in those who have a good knowledge about the nature of mind and body, not that they are wholly free from it. For while talking about the nature of mind and body, they may have the illusion that it is I who is talking, a fact evident in the heated and impassioned arguments during the discussion of the Dhamma. It is the insight meditation and the Aryan path that can ensure the extinction of the belief. Of the two, meditation brings about the extinction of the belief on the Tadanga Pahana level, or in other words, the illusion as regards the object contemplated is eliminated by the opposite. Constant mindfulness means extinction of the illusion on the vikambana level, i.e. overcoming by repression. The belief may still arise, however, when the yogi stops meditating and is off guard. It is completely rooted out only when he attains the first stage of holiness, so it is up to him to strive for the first stage of the holy path. Essential knowledge. In order to attain this object, one must start with meditation that is the prelude to knowledge of Aryan paths. The practice of meditation presupposes knowledge, and some say that before he meditates, the yogi should be thoroughly familiar with the concept of khandha, the five groups of mental and physical phenomena. Ayatanas, the bases or sources, dhatu, the elements, indriya, the faculties, satcha, the truths, and paticca samuppada, the dependent origination. This is sound advice since it accords with Visuddhimagga, Buddha Gosa's book, The Path of Purity. If the yogi is to meditate without a teacher, he needs such knowledge for self-examination. We should not assume, however, that this knowledge is indispensable to all meditating yogis. For not every yogi who meditated according to the instructions of the Buddha did so only after he had thoroughly studied the concepts of khandhas, etc. Perhaps giving instructions to meditators in those days did not usually last even an hour. Especially if there is a teacher to guide the yogi, his knowledge is sufficient if he bears in mind that there are only mental and physical phenomena and impermanent suffering and insubstantiality. The Buddha pointed out the need for sufficient knowledge in a few words as follows. O King of Devas, the bhikkhu who wants to meditate till he attains arahatship remembers that he should regard none of the phenomena as permanent, pleasant, or substantial. This was the Buddha's first brief statement in response to the king of Deva's question as to the extent of knowledge that is essential to the attainment of arahatship. It is the word of the Buddha, not a post-canonical teaching. To put it another way, all phenomena that occur to one or others should be regarded as impermanent, suffering, and insubstantial, and this knowledge suffices to equip the yogi intellectually for the practice of meditation. We can have this knowledge by merely hearing the sermons. Religious Buddhists have learnt for a long time that there are only physical and mental phenomena, that everything is transitory, suffering, and devoid of ego entity. So if you know the method of meditation, you can meditate at any time. Method of meditation. The Buddha's method of meditation is given in a few words. So sabang tamang abhijanati. The yogi knows all phenomena intelligently and mindfully. Here, all phenomena means the psychophysical phenomena involved in hearing, smelling, eating, touching, bending, moving, thinking, etc. The yogi should note them in order to know them as they really are. Abhijanati means to fix one's attention on the object intelligently, to be mindful of it. And the yogi must know all phenomena. His awareness should not be confined to a single phenomenon. He must take cognizance of every event that occurs when he sees or hears or contacts or knows. But in the beginning, he cannot attend to all events. So he should start with the observation of one or two obvious events. While sitting, he must fix his mind on sitting, or he can concentrate on his nostril, which is the point of contact with inhaled or exhaled air, and make a mental note in and out. Or he may note arising and passing away with his mind fixed on tenseness and movement in the belly. If, while thus watching, some thoughts occur, he should note them and return to the original phenomenon that he has been watching. If stiffness, pain, heat, and any other sensation occur, he must note stiff, pain, hot, etc., and then resume his original introspection. If there is bending or stretching or any other movement, it should also be noted. When the yogi stands up, he must do so mindfully. When the yogi walks, he must be aware of every step that he takes. If possible, he must make a note of every act of seeing or hearing. By virtue of his mindfulness, he develops the power of concentration and comes to realize independently that there is no living ego entity, nothing apart from the knowing consciousness and the known corporeality. This is the knowledge, nama rupa paricheda jnana, which enables the yogi to discriminate between consciousness and corporeality, and it is basic to right belief in meditation. This belief is opposed to the ego belief and the personality belief, sakaya ditti. It is important to grasp this right view properly. Some people think that they have the right view if they merely recognize that there are only corporality and consciousness. The former comprising the four primary elements, plus the 24 secondary physical phenomena, upada rupa, and the latter being made up of 81 kinds of mundane consciousness, plus 52 elements of mind, chetasika. This does not accord with the Buddhist teaching that all phenomena should be known, nor does such kind of reflection in itself ensure the elimination of the ego belief that arises at the moment of seeing, hearing, etc. But the yogi who keeps watch on what is actually happening to the psychophysical organism will, at the moment of noting the rising of the belly, realize that there are only the arising corporeality and the knowing consciousness. And at the moment of noting the falling of the belly, he knows that there are only the falling corporeality and the knowing consciousness. At the moment of bending or stretching, he knows that there are only the corporeality that bends or stretches and the consciousness that makes a note of it. The same may be said of his knowledge of the distinction between nama and rupa while walking, seeing, hearing, etc. So every moment of mindfulness means rejection of the ego belief and the personality belief. That is the way the Buddha pointed out for dispelling these beliefs in the Salaka Sutta. Other non-meditating people may believe in the ego entity, but we who are familiar with the Satipatthana method of introspection will, by introspecting the psychophysical phenomena at the moment of their occurrence, hold the correct view that there is no ego entity, but only the consciousness and corporeality. Thus, we will practice the Dharma that lessens defilements. Our interpretation of the Buddha's teaching is advanced and profound. Those who cannot meditate are included in the other people. But we should assume that knowledgeable persons who are not firmly attached to ego beliefs are to be accepted. The belief will have a strong hold on those who cannot meditate and have little knowledge. According to our interpretation, such person will have to be labeled heretics. But ego-oriented heresy is not as serious as evil conduct-oriented belief. It does not by itself lead to the lower worlds. The believer may land in heavenly abodes by virtue of his charity and morality, or he may attain jhana and pass on to the Brahma world or even the highest abode. So the ego belief is not a barrier to the deva worlds, but a person who is dominated by the belief lacks faith in the Buddhist teaching, and so it may impede his spiritual progress. The extreme ego belief usually prevails among non-Buddhists and is hardly to be found among Buddhists. So a Buddhist may hold the ego belief because of his ignorance, and yet he may have faith in the Dharma and practice meditation. If he exerts wholehearted effort, he may attain the holy path and fruition. So while living in a world that is wedded to ego belief, we should meditate and hold the right view based on insight knowledge. Affirmation of the right view. Other people may believe in a living soul or an ego entity, but we will hold the right view that there are only consciousness and corporeality. We will practice the Dhamma that lessens defilements. We will cultivate thoughts about such a view. We will avoid the ego belief and personality belief by adopting the right beliefs. We will achieve spiritual uplift through right beliefs. We will put out the fire of defilement arising from ego belief and personality belief through adherence to right belief. Implicit in this affirmation is that those who hold the ego belief are to be labeled heretics, an implication that may be offensive to believers. But as we have pointed out, such an ego belief is not as serious as evil-oriented heresy. It only prolongs one's existence in samsara, or the cycle of life. Moreover, ordinary people are seldom free from the belief. We are temporarily free from it only when we are meditating. So there is no reason why the believers should resent being called heretics. If they resent it, they can switch to the right belief through introspection. There are people who have set their heart on greater spiritual heights without giving up their ego belief. As for the meditating yogi, he makes spiritual progress on the basis of his right views, just like Visakha and Anathapindika in the lifetime of the Buddha. These two disciples of the Buddha passed on to heavenly abodes on their death. There they attained Anagami stage and will pass through the Sudhavasa, i.e. the five Brahma worlds of form in succession. They will spend 1,000 world cycles in the lowest Avihā realm, 2,000 world cycles in Atapa realm, 4,000 world cycles in Sudassa realm, 8,000 world cycles in Sudassī realm, and 16,000 world cycles in Akanita realm, or altogether 31,000 world cycles in Sudhavasa Brahma realms. Finally, in the Akanita realm, they will become arahats and attain Nibbana. This is how the yogi makes spiritual progress through right belief on the basis of insight meditation and Aryan path. We should also follow their example. Sasata Ditti and Ucheda Ditti, continuity belief and annihilation belief. Sasata Ditti is the belief that a living being remains permanent, passing from one existence to another. According to this view, the soul or the ego never perishes, although the gross physical body is subject to death and destruction. After the death of the body, the soul moves on to another physical abode. It is indestructible, and it survives the disintegration of innumerable world systems. By and large, the Sasata belief is prevalent among people who believe in karma. It is explicitly accepted by the Hindu holy books. According to their view, the living being has two kinds of bodies, the gross body and the subtle body. The gross body eventually perishes, but the subtle body passes on to a new abode and remains intact. The soul, which thus seeks a new abode, is very small, smaller than the tip of a pin that can go through the eye of a needle. It can reach a very distant place instantly and pass through mountains and brick walls. They have to credit the soul with such supernormal power, for only then would it be able to gain access to a potential mother who is sleeping in a brick building without any opening. There is no Buddhist book that explicitly states such a view. But ignorant people believe that the soul leaves the body after death and passes on to another abode or existence. The belief does not have a strong hold on those who have knowledge about causal relation between mind and body. No one is, however, wholly free from it, so long as he lacks insight knowledge on the level of the holy path. Opposed to the Sāsatā belief is the Ucheda belief, which insists on annihilation after death. If you believe that there is nothing after death, you assume that there is something before death, and presumably that something is the ego. So although the annihilationists insist on the corporeality of everything, or the primacy of matter, they are not really free from ego belief. The primacy of matter, they are not really free from ego belief. In other words, the Ucheda view, too, is rooted in ego belief. According to Sāsatā view, the ego continues to exist after death, while according to Ucheda view, it is annihilated by death. So both views attribute ego to a living being, the only difference being that the first view insists on, while the second view rejects the continued existence of the ego after death. Some people hold that the mind and body of childhood still exist in the grown-up man, but this is not Sāsatā view. It is only the idea of permanency. You may call it Atta-ditti, but it is not the same as Sāsatā-ditti, inasmuch as Ucheda-ditti too insists on such permanency before death. Moreover, if the belief in the mind and body of childhood is to be labelled Sāsatā belief, our awareness of their ceaseless passing away will have to be called Ucheda belief. In fact, this awareness is based on reflection and insight meditation. The view opposed to it is only ego belief, not Sāsatā, continuity or eternity belief. In short, Sāsatā belief insists on permanence, while Ucheda belief on annihilation of the ego after death.